All right, lastly, we have Addison giving a talk out of Tarleton.
Hello, everyone. My name is Addison Singleton. I'm an undergraduate working under Dr. John Montoy at Tarleton State University. And it's my pleasure today to share with y'all how we initiated a university vermicompost system and turned food waste into a horticultural commodity. Just some background on vermicompost. It's a process where earthworms and microorganisms work together to break down organic material and transform it into a valuable soil amendment known as worm castings. These castings can be used as a top dressing, a soil amendment. They can be brewed for compost tea, used as soil drenches or foliar feeds. So with the rise in organic farming as well as the cannabis industry, people are searching for alternative fertilizers and soil conditioners, so it's really grown an economic value. So vermicompost has a low carbon to nitrogen ratio as a high microbial content. It can improve your water retention with a good structure and reduce bulk density. Research states it can help reduce the presence of pests, being it's rich in soluble phenolic compounds. It also makes nutrients more available to plants, has a very high humus content. So recently, Tarleton State University received a new horticulture professor, and we've really been practicing getting on hands-on learning, getting involved on campus, as well as sustainability, when we realized that no one was doing anything about the food waste on campus. So we wanted to try to reduce this food waste in an environmentally sustainable way, as well as recycle these nutrients to create a valuable horticulture product. So leading in, 60% of the total waste in landfills are organic waste and can be composted. And landfills are the third largest source of human-made methane emissions in the United States. So we need to find some environmentally sustainable ways to reduce our growing population's waste. So we wanted to determine the feasibility of starting a vermicompost system at the university, as well as reduce the amount of food waste and create a valuable horticulture product we could potentially use in horticulture labs. We also got our product tested for comparison to some commercially produced castings, as well as to determine its feasibility in the horticulture industry. We started by purchasing 15 pounds of worms from a local worm farm in Abilene, Texas. We collected shredded paper from campus. Our feedstock was strictly pre-consumer salad bar material. Our bin we constructed using a storage drum that we repurposed, and we got our testing done by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. So the epigenetic species of worm we chose was Eisenia foetida, also known as red wigglers. They were chosen because they're suitable for containers. They have a short life cycle. They're pretty resilient and can tolerate temperature and moisture ranges. And they also have a pretty long lifespan. Our feedstock source was Sodexo, which is our food and facilities management at Tarleton. They have a mantra of reducing environmental impact, so they're pretty easy to work with and really open to us composting all of their material. And this is a quote that I found on their website talking about how they like to reduce environmental impact. Like I mentioned before, our feedstock we used was pre-consumer salad waste material, and we collected about 30 pounds a week out of 5-gallon buckets. Essentially what the ladies would do is when they were prepping the material, they would just kind of scoot it all into our buckets. So we would have a bunch of non-organic material, plastic wrap, produce stickers. We had a few gloves in there. So we had to really remove these before we applied the feedstocks to the bin. And then we used shredded paper as our carbon material. So our bin was constructed with a repurposed storage drum where we took a sawzall and cut it lengthwise in half. We propped it up on some bricks as well as these pallets just for airflow and drainage. We also drilled holes into the bottom of it as well. The lid, as you can kind of see up here, is just a repurposed wood that we lay over the top of this bin to retain some moisture as well as keep critters out. And our bin is housed in a workshop that's climate controlled. It never gets above about 85 degrees in there, so it really is the perfect conditions for a vermicompost system. One of the main problems in vermicomposting actually is overfeeding your worms. So I wanted to share this picture with y'all. This is right after we fed our worms. And what we like to do is wait until we see what Ms. Rhonda Sherman termed the pool table effect. And it's essentially when the worms have consumed all their material and have created a soft, smooth surface, as you kind of see on the right side. And that's how it's just a good indicator that the worms has consumed most of their material. We also feed on one half of the bin, and that's just in case the material contained too much salt or maybe it started to produce ammonia. It just wasn't suitable for the worms, so they had a safe space to kind of go to until they're ready to help break down that material. We also try to break down the material ourselves before applying it, just to increase surface area for the microorganisms, as well as reduce some fungus gnats in the bin. And then right after we apply our feedstock, we add a layer of shredded paper and then damp newspaper just to maintain our moisture levels. When we harvested our worm castings, we just did a manual harvest. We didn't need to harvest the whole bin. This was just so we could test our castings. So we used a light method, and worms go away from the light, and so we put a clamp light over the top of the bin to get them to go deeper into the soil so we could scoop off kind of the top portion. So we didn't have to pick out so many worms. But we also tried to go through the compost as good as we could to salvage any cocoons we could, being that they can house up to 7 baby worms, and we want to keep our population up right now. So we got our worm castings tested along with 2 others that were commercially available in Stephenville. One was purchased at Tractor Supply and it was about $1.35 a pound. And then one was purchased at Walmart and it was about $1 per pound. And when we got our results back, it was really interesting. As you can see in this total nitrogen percentage, we're number 1 with Walmart number 2 and Tractor Supply being number 3. We had significantly lower amounts of nitrogen. But what was even more interesting was our phosphorus and potassium percentages were significantly higher. And this just could be due to our feedstock we were using. It was mainly salad bar material, which is very high in phosphorus and potassium. And they could possibly be processing some dairy slurry or pig manure. And then our calcium percentage and sodium levels were much higher, and as well as the pH. And this just could be due to the type of groundwater we have in Texas. It's pretty hard water. So we did determine that our castings are suitable for horticulture use. And we could say that if we needed to use them right now, we could use Walmart or Tractor Supplies. If we needed a vegetative growth, since they're high in nitrogen, then we could use ours for more of a fruit or flowering, being it's high in the P and the K. And I think it's really important for us to remember that worms aren't just our garbage disposals. They also need a healthy diet to produce quality castings. So after we indicated that we can produce a valuable horticulture product, we wanted to kind of kick it up a notch and determine how much we actually can process. So we're picking up about 2 buckets of food waste a week from the dining hall, and these were 5-gallon buckets. And we were focused on pre-consumer salad bar material. And we know that the dining hall can produce about 15 buckets a day of this pre-consumer salad bar material, equaling up to 12.6 tons of organic food that's wasted a semester. So if our current worm bin can process about 420 pounds of food waste over the course of a semester, it's going to take about 60 worm bins for us to process this 12.6 tons of food waste. And we calculated if we had a 25% reduction in this food waste, we could potentially make 6,300 pounds of worm castings. If we sold them at the average price of worm castings, we could eventually make $6,300 revenue per semester. So we determined the operating cost for a student worker to maintain these 60 worm bins, and it'd be about $2,600. So we could eventually make a $3,700 profit over the course of a semester, but realistically, you know, if we sold just $2,600, then the worm bin would be paying for itself. Some troubleshooting I wanted to share with you guys. Our main problem we had, I would say, was miscommunication with Sodexo and our dining hall services. We lost a few 5-gallon buckets in the process, which, you know, is a sad day for a horticulturist. But that was okay. We got it fixed. We also had a problem with ants coming into the bottom of our worm bin. And we solved this. We had to take out, I would say, about 1/8 of the bin that was infested. And then we religiously applied diatomaceous earth over the edges of the outside of the bin. How I mentioned overfeeding earlier, we had a problem with overfeeding also, where we developed a potworm population, where they like much more moist and acidic conditions than red wigglers. They're little white worms that will get all in your bin, and you can definitely indicate them pretty easily. So we noticed that we were overfeeding, and we cut back on food and started to rotate the bin more often just to get rid of the potworms. And then during the spring semester, we had a lot of storms, which was knocking the lights out, and we tried to intentionally keep them on just to keep the worms in their respective house since they don't like to go where the light is. So to fix this problem, as you can see here on the right, we put a clamp light over the top of the bin while the power was out for a while. So in conclusion, we determined that it's feasible as well as self-sustainable to produce worm castings at the university solely off the materials that we collected from campus. We also learned that we can reduce the amount of organic food waste, potentially saving the university money on waste removal. So continuing on, we'd like to explore some different feedstock options. We're a dairy research campus, so we'd like to start processing some of the dairy slurry as well as focus on post-consumer waste. I'd also like to take this research into a master's where we went through some pest suppressant trials as well as feedstock comparisons, being that there's not much research out there in the feedstock comparison. And I would just like to thank Dr. John Montoya for bringing me here today, and Hunter Eichmann, he's watching over my worms while we're gone right now, as well as Sodexo for letting us process their food waste, and Grandpa's Texas Worms for providing us with very healthy red wigglers to kickstart our vermicompost system. And I would love to take any questions.
What's the downside of potworms over the red wigglers?
So the question was, what's the downside of potworms? They don't necessarily harm red wigglers, but they can outcompete for food if the population gets too high. They also compost material very well, so they're a good composting worm, but we wanted to focus on Icenia fittida, not potworms.
In terms of applications of the vermicompost, does vermicompost have better properties from red wigglers than if you had potworms in it? I mean, it seems like you're getting rid of, if the goal is to get rid of the food waste, I mean, how would you even know that you have an inferior product if you had potworms?
No, that's a great question. I'd love to investigate that further. Any other questions? Yes.
I'm just curious. I don't know a lot about composting, but how selective were you with your salad bar material? Like, what was generally being composted, I guess?
So our question was, what was generally being composted? Mainly when we got, it was post or pre-consumer salad waste material. So it was mainly like lettuce leftovers. We would have some fruit in there, cucumber peels, some tomatoes, but the bulk of what we fed the worms was lettuce, and that was it indicated with our high phosphorus and potassium. Any more questions? Well, thank you guys.